Hey y'all, I'm Myth, and I'm the weirdest bitch you know. This is my podcast. Hey friends, loves, enemies, whoever the fuck listens to this podcast at this point, hi. I recorded this rambling, long-ass episode, I guess it was like a week ago, and then I just have been sitting on it because you'll hear why, probably. It's just stream of consciousness, me talking to myself as usual. It is now the eve of the full moon, and it still feels appropriate because today, it being the eve of the full moon, I did for my Patreon a full moon tarot transmission. If you want to get that, if you like anything about these ramblings, you'll probably like the way that I read, because it's not about prediction, it's not about what's going to happen next, all this external stuff most of the time. It is just some stuff for, the intention is that there's something for everyone in my full moon and new moon readings. All patrons get access to them, so any level you get access. But some of the themes that came up kind of reminded me, re-listening to this just to see if I'm like really gonna release it. There's some overlap. So you can go to my Patreon if my extremely off-the-cuff style like speaks to you or resonates in some way. Go ahead and check it out at patreon.com/sleepyhousehealing. I am bringing this up and pushing this more because, well, you might have already seen, or maybe you're just hearing about this for the first time. I've talked about it a little bit on my socials, that all of the social media platforms that are connected with the metaverse, it seems, are becoming extremely inhospitable to readers. On Instagram, I know you, if you're on there, you might have seen me or other readers posting about fake accounts, people, impersonators, making exact copies of our accounts and then going into DMs and scamming people. Just a reminder, I'm saying this everywhere, but let me say it again. I will never DM you for a reading. I will never DM you asking for money, especially not cold like that, right? It's a lot different if we're already in a conversation, if you're somebody in my life and we have a DM sort of relationship, well, you know, just double check that it's me, because the fake accounts are getting better and better. Like, I mean, more realistic, more better at scamming. And Instagram does nothing about it. And if you've known me for a while, you might know that last year I got my TikTok banned and could not figure out why. I thought it was related to OnlyFans, because at the time I had an OnlyFans, and I made a series where I talked about safety tips and just some advice, especially for people younger than me who were starting, you know, doing online sex work. I just was trying to mostly explain how it's not quick, easy money, whatever. And, but TikTok was taking down videos like my astrology and tarot videos, right? And so it kind of makes sense now that people are getting pushed off the apps, the ads. I noticed that, what was it, on Twitter, someone was talking about how they're banning ads that have to do with spiritual services. Ugh, long sigh, because all of this is happening while at the same time I am visible enough to get some weird stalker shit. And I may do an episode just talking about the 12 tribes and the Yellow Deli. I'm not afraid to talk about the things I really care about. And healing indoctrination, healing after being, you know, in a cult, right? Things like that. It is important to me. So, but talking about that online got me somebody that really, really crossed my boundaries and made multiple accounts to try to get to me, ended up messaging me through my website. It was a mess. And I really hope if you are listening to this, please leave me alone. I am not interested in shaming you. I'm not interested in making you feel bad or embarrassing you and humiliating you, even though I feel like that's what you were trying to do to me. You don't need my permission to heal. Literally no one needs my permission, forgiveness. I don't need your apology. What I want from people who realize that they fucked up or whatever in their interactions with me, I need you to just leave me alone. I know it sucks when you feel like you've embarrassed yourself and it feels like maybe you're embarrassed. Yeah. I've been there. I talk about it in this episode, but you can't continue to try to contact me. It is really not cool. I'm not going to waste any more energy on talking about it, but just know that there's just a lot going on and there always is, but, my books are back open. For people who are not blocked on my social media accounts, you can get a tarot reading from me if you want, or a dream session. Again, sleepyhousehealing.com. My website's not perfect. It's another thing I could complain about, but I won't. I've done the best I can to put it back in some sort of order after someone made it for me and I was not happy. What else? I think just wrapping up with all the updates. Yeah, so I kind of get the sense that Twitter is going to be just, as there's like an exodus from these other social media platforms, I have a feeling that Twitter is going to explode with readers, explode with new accounts, or just, you know, a lot of readers who have accounts that they don't use, they're going to start using them. I want to be excited. I want to be like, hell yeah, there's room for everyone, you know, because there is. But the part that I'm not excited about, if you are familiar with like TikTok and Instagram, there's a whole lot of love and light crew people, who, again, I'm not trying to judge, but people give potential, seekers a really weird impression of what these modalities do, what they're capable of. Like, I'm just saying that if you come to a tarot reading with me, I do not have the ability to read someone else's mind. And I want you to think very critically about booking with someone who claims that they can do things like that. Not saying it's impossible, just saying there are things that I am capable of that I do not advertise. And part of that is because, well, one part of it is that my gifts are my gifts. I get to choose what I share and what I don't. And the other part is there's a lot of people in this line of work who are just don't have any integrity, don't really care who they hurt. There's a lot of people in this for money. And I kind of understand why, because you can make a lot of money telling people what they want to hear. I am not in that business. Fuck that. but readers, other readers sometimes can give people an impression that it's normal in a tarot reading that I can, you know, look into some external party's mind and see their desires, their feelings, whatever. And they're not even part of the reading. So I think the thing I'm nervous about is not competition. It's just more people being in my on my platform that I love. That's my feels like my home, though it's not. It's Twitter. Like anybody can get one. But I'm not worried about competition. There's a part of me that's like, hell yeah, the people I love to talk to all being on this app, that would be amazing. You know, like I like talking to other practitioners and collaborators. I like that. But what I don't like is having to, I shouldn't look around and worry about what other people are doing. But when it affects me, when it affects, you know, people's impression of what the modality, I feel like at this point, I'm like dedicated my entire life to, not my entire life, but I've dedicated so much of my life to, I get a little nervous because I don't, yeah, when it starts affecting me, I get irritated, but, you know, that's my own crap to worry about. And what else? Okay, well, I think I've talked enough for this intro to what I'm about to continue rambling on about from a week ago. Just to let you know, I do talk about food, my body, chronic pain. I talk about patterns, relearning the same lessons. Yeah, there is some overlap with, I will say, with the full moon reading. So if you're into it, if you listen to this, and even if you don't think you're a tarot person, you really might get something out of the full moon transmission. All right, I'm done trying to tell people to go there. I just want to mention really quick that you can follow me on Patreon without being a paid subscriber. So even if you just click follow, and don't give me a single dollar, you can get updates when I update the Patreon, like with public posts. So, okay. So that's it. If you love horrifying mouth sounds, please stick around. I have so many for you. Okay. Bye. I mean, hi. Hello. What are we going to talk about? I'm going to talk about shame some more because it keeps coming up. And I think not just for me, but for a lot of people. And I've gotten a lot of really good feedback about how these episodes feel conversational and they're helpful. So, okay, I'll keep talking. Thanks for the compliments on my voice too. I am so self-conscious about my voice. I think part of that is because I just talk so much, which is one of the things I'm sometimes a little ashamed of. Just being ADHD and processing externally and talking a lot and sharing my interests, sharing what, if when I learn something new, I really want to share that with anybody who will listen to me. And I'm blessed that I now have kind of realized, oh, that means you need to like teach. That means you need to, you know, find ways where it's appropriate to share and people who are interested, and even better, people who can pay you to go on and on about the things that you learn and the interests that you cultivate, right? But anyway, coming back to shame. Well, I think, and I've seen this expressed a lot, where when you share in that way, people think you're a smartass, like you're a know-it-all, like you think you're better than other people, like people feel lectured at. And a lot of times I express what I'm learning so that I can actually really learn it myself. Like last night, me and my husband were in a conversation and I asked his opinion about something and he gave it. And then I started not arguing, but I just gave my side of it and explained. And I realized when I was doing that, I'm like, I think part of me is trying to explain this to myself and work something out. So, you know, and I do that sometimes to the point where I'm like, I do apologize. And it's like, you know, not everybody wants to go on that ride. And that's why consent is so important when it comes to any kind of dumping, right? Trauma dumping or info dumping or whatever. Not that these are all the same things. They're not. The process of talking about things and processing things externally is not the same as info dumping, which is just like, I guess it is in the way of like, oh yeah, here's something I'm excited about. And then just like telling all the facts that you have learned or the observations you've made. But, coming back to shame, the point I think I wanted to make is that, in readings, I've read for people who've been publicly shamed. And I've been thinking a lot more about public shaming, the times I've publicly shamed someone, the times I have been publicly shamed, and the ways that people have, you know, I've shown my ass before. I've not always been a good person. I've made mistakes. I've been loud and wrong. I think, I won't say most of us have. Some people have never been loud and wrong because you don't, that's not your nature. My nature is to be out loud, right? So I was just thinking about how the people that I have read for that have been publicly shamed or, you know, canceled in some way, which this is not my term. I want to just acknowledge that being publicly shamed and being canceled are different things. And I have my feelings about both, but canceled is technically AAE. It's not really the term that people have taken it, and they're using it in another way, misappropriated it and made it into something else. But I digress. The point is, the people I've read for, without me saying any private information of theirs, let me just say that everybody I've read for who's been publicly shamed has a power, a type of just energy that I don't encounter very often. And I don't know how to describe it exactly, but there's almost this sense of like, you can't really hurt them, which isn't true. You can always still get hurt. But it's more of the vibe that they give that they can, I feel like I can share tough messages with people who've been through something like that. People who've been publicly shamed online or like, you know, had some sort of episode where they burned a lot of bridges. There's a power. There's something that happens once that happens. This is actually, I think, part of what I might have been ranting to my husband about last night. There's something that happens for these folks because it's like once you pass through that sort of public fire, the people that have stuck around and still talk to you, sure, some of them might just be shitty people, whatever, you know, we can, there's so many situations, right? There's no like one size fits all. This is why this happens, or this is why so-and-so stays, whatever. But I think that once you know who's really hanging with you after you've been publicly shamed, or maybe you've even done something to make that happen, right? You have such a different perspective, I think, on reality than people who've never had that. I've been publicly shamed, I would say, a few times because I just, like I said, I showed my ass. I did something stupid. I was the asshole online, you know, like that's happened. And I've also experienced people smearing my reputation to deflect from their own, you know, shit that they've done to me that they don't want to take any responsibility for. I think one thing I can be
proud of at this point in my life is to be able to get some space, some years between me and situations and be like, you know what? Here's my role. Here's my role. That's what I did. Here's what maybe I could have done different. Here's what I'm not proud of. Here's what, you know, here's my role. I can take accountability for the things that I have done. And I don't think that is what most people do. I think a lot of people would rather just burn bridges and hide. They would rather just never deal with whatever it is, right? It's like the pattern thing where it's like, okay, I don't know if I ever published this, like something about this or not, but I know I've talked about this before where, okay, this is not victim blaming. Please understand that when I say this, this is me looking at my own relationship patterns and it's not me telling you or someone else about yourself because I don't fucking know your life. You know, maybe you have really bad luck. But the stories we tell ourselves matter. And sometimes when I notice myself in a pattern, like I'm relearning the same lesson over and over and over, and it's like, God, why do I keep becoming friends with the same asshole? Why do I keep falling into this situation where someone treats me like garbage? Everybody else is the problem is kind of like the thing we can jump to. And, you know, people are shitty. People are selfish. So am I. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm any different, you know, even when I think I'm being altruistic, I'm sure there's some unconscious like shit where I'm, you know, just as I would say as manipulative as any other human, not more, not less. I used to get really in my head about like, what if I'm actually just, you know, whatever, like someone who's like genuinely like irredeemably bad and self-centered or whatever. And it's like, would someone who's really irredeemably bad and self-centered be having that feeling that they're that, or would they even care, you know? Anyway, the point being, I think, is that when we notice ourselves in a pattern, you know, like meeting the same kind of partner, ending up in the same dynamic, we have to look at our role as far as like, it's not that we call that in. It's not that we're manifesting bad things or whatever. It's that we're missing red flags or we're accepting behavior that's really not acceptable. And there's reasons for this, right? There's reasons that, you know, oh, maybe you didn't have a healthy relationship modeled for you, like romantically, you know? I think a lot of people have not had that. I feel like in a way that's a privilege because I don't know very many people who've had a healthy romantic relationship modeled. And I don't know if that's part of toxic monogamy culture. I don't know if that's part of, I mean, I'm monogamous and I still can see that is a thing, right? That affects us, right? I don't know if it's part of like just living under capitalism and the way that we all end up so financially codependent. I mean, I don't want to say all, but many of us do. There's just so many reasons, I think, why this happens. And a lot of times it's not just because people are bad. I think that's such a clear-cut, simple, binary answer that everybody else is just selfish and mean or whatever. But when you tell yourself that story, like, oh, I just keep ending up with assholes, it's almost like we resign ourselves to actually keep ending up with assholes. And also, we don't give ourselves even permission, I think, to make other choices. Because I don't think we're attracting assholes. What happens, I think, in these situations, which I don't know where, maybe it was a tweet I read from some random person's therapist that they had said something like, no, you're not attracting shitty people. It's that you attract all kinds of people, but the kind of people that come on really aggressively or the people that tend to stick around if you don't put up boundaries when it's appropriate, those are the kind of, you know, that's how you get in these dynamics. again, it's like sometimes I don't even want to call people toxic because I've been toxic, right? Like I've been the shithead, you know, not to the extent some people have, but, you know, like I've been the like chaotic, scary ex-girlfriend before, you know, I've been that bitch. I'm really not afraid of her. I think I understand what, in quotes, right, crazy ex-girlfriend needs. And that part of myself, I'm really not afraid of anymore. I guess because I'm very, at this point in my marriage, I'm very secure. I feel very secure that my husband has seen the craziest I can possibly be, the absolute most out of my mind that I can be, and he is still here. Which I'm not saying that that's good. I'm not saying that like he should have put up with that, but that's the truth of it. And kind of brings me back to that point of like, there is a sense of, I guess, dysfunction that feels normal for a lot of us. Like, what about the whole, I don't know, I'm sure you've heard relationships are hard. And that is something I've heard repeated so much in my life. And I think there are definitely parts of living with anyone, collaborating with literally anyone about anything, that can be hard. But overall, I think the belief that relationships have to be hard is a negative. It's not even negative. It's like a limiting belief. Because then it's like, well, if it's not hard work, is it real? Or if it's, you know, I think in some ways it can actually be easy. And again, I don't mean, when I say easy, I don't mean lazy. I don't mean that this is, it happens because you don't care. I think it's like, we can actually get good at this. It's a lover's year, a lover's card year. If you're new to the show, hello. I talk a lot and I talk in circles, and I'm just going to be honest, like I ate some treats that might be making me talk even more. And anyway, if you're here, you want to be on this ride, so that's fine. but where was I? Thinking about how the myth that marriage has to be hard. And it's like, I don't know, everything in me wants to believe it because I've had, you know, like discomfort and experienced hardship in general, but also in my marriage, where it's like, if I perpetuate that idea that marriage is hard, well then, oh good, we're normal or something, right? But it's like, the thing is, it just, I don't think that that is a true fact. I don't think it has to be hard. I think it can be easy. And I think that what makes it hard a lot of times is actually stuff that we need to do on our own. It's our own internal work. Not always. Nothing I say is ever always or definitive. Like, I'll change my mind in like 5 minutes. So, you know, just saying. But I don't think it has to be hard. I think when I believe it can be easier and I believe that we're going to work through it and that, oh, you know, like we've got this. I don't know. I'm more securely attached in a way, and I can, from that place of knowing I'm like safe and feeling safe, then we can actually work on stuff, you know, find solutions. But when you're always afraid that the other person's going to leave or that you've like gone too far, you've whatever it is. Well, that's when I think we start. Maybe not everyone, but I do get this sense where it's like, oh, you start trying to like hang on. I'll just speak for myself. At the end of relationships, when I can tell that I am the one that's about to get dumped, which is really, I mean, this is not from a conceited place. I honestly just dump people when I feel tired, and that usually it's like within a year, I'm like, done, right? So my husband is the longest I've been with anyone. And usually I'm the person that rage quits relationships. But the times that I have been the one that's been dumped, there's that feeling, that insecurity where it's like, oh, I'm getting left. Well, it doesn't matter that I'm about to be the most psychotic person. It's not the right way to say that. I'm sorry. I have a lot of friends with psychosis, and I need another way to say what I mean when I look back, and what I'm describing is outlandish behavior of myself, and it's not even related to psychosis at all. Everyone I know who has psychosis is extremely considerate people. Like, all of them are extremely considerate and wonderful people, genuinely. Not that you need to be that to be respected and not have people throw around your diagnosis as a negative, but I just want to mention that, like, it just doesn't make sense that we say psycho when we really mean abusive, because they really don't, in my very limited experience, I will say, they don't really overlap. It's usually, you know, abusive people are just, I don't know, there's something else going on, not psychosis. So anyway, thanks for me. Thanks for letting me say that and figure out how I can better express what I mean. I've totally pulled myself off track, but I do think it is really important to give a shit about not just throwing diagnoses. How do you say it? Not just throwing that stuff around, because this is why we can't really say narcissist anymore, because it's not just because that's an actual diagnosis that some people have as a personality disorder, but also because we fucking use it wrong. We use it wrong. We use it for anybody that makes us mad, you know, like gaslight. It doesn't mean lie. It means somebody fucking with you to the point where you question your sanity, which unfortunately, I have experienced that. Though I will say, looking back, I'm not sure if they knew what reality was either. So anyway, I'm kind of getting to that point where I can almost find empathy for anybody. And it's like, I can't even zero in on, I don't know, my point anymore. So where was I going with this? I guess just my own, looking at my own patterns and like shame, that's at the root of everything. It's at the root of so many of my problems, and I think many people's problems. Everything that we hide and try to conceal, and especially if we're hiding it from ourselves, if we bury it and conceal it from ourselves, it's much harder to heal, and I feel like it manifests in other ways. And here's the thing that's controversial that I'll say. For myself, I feel like it has manifested at times in physical illness. And I know that that can be really controversial, because there are many physical illnesses that happen because of a genetic mutation or because of, you know, whatever. It's not your fault. It's not about blame or you're bad or you did something wrong, so now you're sick. That's not what I'm saying. I would never say that. I'm talking about, for myself, the ways that before I even knew what the word shame probably was, I think I had things that happened where I would hide it from myself so I could be safe, like block it out. But it still affected me, and I didn't know, while I breathe in your ear, while it was still affecting me on a physical level, I think that is how I started getting in these loops of like, what's wrong with you? Something is wrong with you. And then, you know, when you do have like a physical illness or physical pain, it's like you get to a point where you're just so exhausted that you would do anything to feel better. And so then physically, I would and still do try to do things to feel better. But at the root of it, on an energetic level, shame has to be healed for me to get better. And I know that. In 2020, it's so crazy how sometimes, it's not crazy, it makes total sense. It's wild to me sometimes how you can have these epiphanies where it's like, I realized that I had to come clean and be real with myself about something specific, and that I knew that when I did that, that I would be able to find a solution for our leaking roof. And we had a ton of help and assistance and a friend that lent us money and all kinds of ways. You know, people came together, first of all. This was not, nothing about the roof situation was me fixing it, because there was just so many things that, you know, I wore myself out trying to figure out solutions. But it came to me one day, because this also was such a source of shame. Like, this whole situation, it was such a metaphor for our life and how we weren't addressing things that really needed to happen. But it clicked one day. I was like, oh, I have to admit XYZ to myself. I have to share it with my husband and be super real with him. And then we're going to find a solution for the roof. And I don't know if that is because I said it, like if I chose my own adventure and that's how I knew this, I wanted the story to play out, or if I just simply had the realization that that's what had to happen. That was like the toll it was taking on me. I had to, you know, had to do this for XYZ to happen, cause and effect, but in a way that maybe most people wouldn't see that these things are related, but mythopoetically, they were certainly related. I don't know if I use that right now that I'm, I don't know. I shouldn't have ate so many, giggle bites. I'll just call them giggle bites, because I feel like in some ways I'll be saying something where I'm like, wow, I feel like I know something. I feel wise. And then I'll be a toddler like the next minute. nicknaming my treats. But anyway, I guess I'm coming to that realization again with other things, right? With my own healing, where it's like, okay, to do all these, the physical things I need to do to heal, and that I'm doing to heal, these practices, it's not one thing, it's a bunch of things, which just sounds exhausting if you're already tired and in pain and struggling, but it's not exhausting when you know you literally have to do these things to live. It's like, oh, this is actually the way out of exhaustion if you give it a chance. But yeah, I also have to heal the shame and the wounds of, you know, I think doing stuff out of obligation and doing stuff to try to gain some sort of approval, even if it's an unconscious reach for approval. I think it's important for me to really cut the cord with that shit, you know? Because I think in so many ways, I mean, people have told me, like, I really project confidence. Like, they think, I've heard people say this to me my whole life, like, oh, you seemed so confident on stage. Like, oh, you just did that. Like, it was easy. You make it look easy. And it's like, I am so anxious about everything. Like, literally, I'm so self-conscious about everything I do, everything I say. And I get the feedback from some people that I'm harsh. You know, I get the feedback that I'm too much. And getting that on, like, a daily basis, I just don't know. I don't know who would handle that well, but also I just can't be, I'm not gonna say I can't be any different, as in I can't evolve and change, because yes, I can, and I do, and I have been, and I, like, it's a big truck, I've seen my growth, and I have to remember that, right? But as far as like the things about me that make me me, this is the only person available for me to be. So I've really tried to make myself small. I've tried to make myself different. It doesn't ever work. And then I also feel like shit, because what a self-betrayal to try to change the person that God made me, you know? Even if you believe that God is not like a creator in that sense, the universe made me, or I made me, or whatever, whoever you think makes people. Probably just some weird little hobgoblin who wanted an ant farm of humans. This morning I woke up, I just chose violence, and I tweeted, if you could lay eggs and with your human body, and you could, you know, they were similar to chicken eggs, would you eat your own eggs? And I'm really surprised at the people that have said no, because I know a lot of them have, I know about their kinks. And it's just kind of wild that like eating your own eggs is crossing the line. Oh, here's a question. Does anybody know if you're lactose intolerant and you drink your own breast milk? No, it should be fine. I would just answer my own question. I was thinking about this the other day, or not the other day, earlier today, because one of my friends was saying that she's, or it was a few people now, but one of them, they're allergic to eggs. And so they said, no, they wouldn't eat their own human eggs. And I guess I just was wondering about breast milk. But then I remembered that, like, when I was nursing, that some moms would have to be lactose free, like dairy free, until they were done. So their baby wouldn't get sick, because they're little. Can you imagine coming out of the womb and being lactose intolerant? That would suck so bad. Nursing was hellish for me anyway, but if I couldn't have had cheese, I just don't know how I'd still be here. Sorry. I know I have at least one listener who is, vegan and like really like, I just so nice. And so I'm sorry if I grossed you out with that, but, I do like vegan cheese. It's just a different experience. I shouldn't talk about this too long in this state, because I will say something that I'll change my mind about, probably like immediately. So anyway, coming back to healing my body, I do tend to talk about food, because I think food is also one of those places where it's like so much of what's wrong with us is connected to our food. And our shame as well. It's like, I never want to shame individuals. I will never, ever, you will not catch me telling you how to eat. If you want to eat chicken nuggets every day for your entire life, I'm not saying you have my blessing in that I think you should do that. You don't have my recommendation, but it's also like none of my fucking business, you know? I will never tell someone else how to eat. And unfortunately, what I know about the way that we produce food in the United States, it just sucks. It just sucks. And being someone who has so many allergies and sensitivities, and also just struggles to actually follow what I know about my own body and how I should be eating to fuel it, it's like, it's just one of those things, you know, where, again, it's not the individual choices. It's actually these other, it feels like untouchable overarching powers that decided, oh yeah, we're just gonna basically poison all the water and, you know, put Roundup on everything, you know, especially where I live. It's like everything is so fucking polluted, so that to the point where it's like some stuff I kind of worry, you know, I need to get my soil tested before I start growing root vegetables. But yeah, I have to acknowledge that individually, I can never shame anybody about what they're eating, because I understand that some people literally have like two foods that they're able to eat safely, you know, whether that's due to mental illness, eating disorder related illness, or, you know, being super allergic to shit, unfortunately. So it's never about just the individual, but knowing, like I said, knowing what I know about the FDA and the way that we just, what's allowed to pass, it's like we are so sick from our food. The nutritional content of our vegetables just isn't even the same as it is in other places. When I lived, I always hate being like, when I lived in Europe, because it sounds like I have money or like I have some cultural experiences that I don't. I mean, I do have cultural experiences, but I was very broke when I was traveling. I shouldn't have even been there. I couldn't afford being there. Whatever the case, when I lived in Europe, I ate a ton of bread. I smoked cigarettes. I treated my body like a dumpster. There was a vending machine in my Studentenheim, which was like a dorm. And there were, you know, we had like a bar in our dorm and a vending machine with alcohol in it, you know. Before Radler was really popular here, they were really big where I lived in Austria, and they were so good. I mean, I really wasn't a big beer person until I moved to Austria and I tasted beer there. And I was like, oh yeah, this is actually delicious. but the point is, I know I was younger, but I treat my body so much better now, and I'm so sick. I don't think it's just the years. I really think that food was majorly different. Even the sweets, everything. And it's not about like organic versus inorganic. I'm not even sure exactly what all it is that's different, but I know our bread, our wheat, is absolutely fucking different, because I don't know that I'm even actually allergic to gluten. I think it might just be the process that we put wheat through here that is making me, every time I eat commercial flour bread, I have really bad anxiety. It fucks up my digestive tract. And the worst part is my brain stops working. And one day, one of my friends pointed out, she was like, you know, when you've eaten gluten, you do a lot of typos. And when she said that, I was like, oh, God. At first, I felt embarrassed a little bit, though that was not her intent at all. But it was just like, damn, no, that's true. It's true. It fucks with my brain. But it's also just, gosh, bread is, for me, highly addictive. I love bread, and especially pasta. It's really good. I don't mean to like thirst post about things I can't really have. It's just, you know, I understand how hard it is when it seems like everything you have access to, it's so much easier to be sicker and to make choices that offer this like temporary comfort, even though I know they're not great choices for long term. It's like when you're, oh, fishy game. did you hear that? That was my kid's Kindle saying, play me. I need to get in the bathtub, honestly. I've been talking to myself for like 40 minutes, but where was I? I don't know. Oh, I think I just want to mention how I don't even think you need to be neurodivergent or chronically ill to be exasperated and exhausted by the state of the world at this time. And at this time, it's so much easier, I think, for me, at least, to reach for that temporary comfort, because it feels so few and far between, than it is to reach for the long-term benefit stuff. So I just want to mention again, there's no shame in anything that you eat to fuel your body. But I also know, how food has made me sick. And even when I think I'm making like the most perfect, again, what is perfection? But when I think I'm making the best possible choices for my diet and my health, I still end up feeling sick. And so then I'm like, I might as well just eat some fucking French fries in that case. You know, like I might as well just eat whatever I want, eat the gluten, eat the things I'm allergic to, because otherwise I'll never have fun ever is the story. But I know that's bullshit. I have to break the spell of that story, actually, because it's like there's always happiness again. There's always something else. It's like when I miss out on buying some book or something that I think I need. If it sells out, I feel like, oh no, I'm never gonna get that. But like, if it's a really good book, there's usually a reprint, you know? It's like the best analogy I could come up with, because that's the thing I'm obsessed with right now. Just, I guess, always. I think my version of like materialism, of course it's books, you know, like what is more Capricorn than being a knowledge hoarder? And I do read them, most of them, you know, it's not like I don't love on my books, but I don't think that I give them the attention that I probably should with at the way that I covet them. So, but yeah, I always think, oh no, if I miss out, I have real bad FOMO. I do. I worry about missing out. And it's weird because it's like anywhere I'm at, that's where the fucking party is. I know it sounds so silly, but it's true. It's like, even though it's not a party, but it's like if I'm just where I am in the moment, no matter where I am, that's fine. That's good enough. It's weird how we reach for things when it's like the thing we need the most is just presence, just being here now. But we will do anything possible to avoid that. Maybe that's why I talk so much sometimes too. I think it's like if I have to sit here and be quiet and do my internal work, then I have to do my internal work. But that reminds me how earlier I think I left it on like a cliffhanger when I was talking about how in relationships, so often there's internal work we need to do, that instead of doing that, we'll just fight with each other. we'll externalize it and we'll just, you know, make it about something else, make it about the other person. When it's like, maybe we just need to be still. Maybe we just need to be with ourselves, like fully present, and feel our fucking feelings. I think that's a big one for me, that I thought that I was feeling my feelings. I thought I processed my feelings. But it turns out, I think for a very long time, I was analyzing my feelings. And even though I wasn't doing it externally, I was using logic and over-rationalizing, which in a way is like talking myself out of feeling them, you know? I think our ego, it's like, we'll just do anything to avoid feeling the feeling. But then once you do it, it's like catharsis, you know? Maybe that's why I used to feel almost like addicted to crying, because it felt so good to finally let things out. And I have a lot of shame around crying. because I used to do it in a, very inappropriately and all the time when I was younger, but I literally just, I could not, I would get angry. And for some reason that for me, being anger, feeling deep anger would make me cry. And I used to actually be like, I want to say that it wasn't violent, but actually in some ways, it's not that I think the way that I didn't weaponize tears, not intentionally ever. But I think I almost said that I wasn't violent, but like I've hit people, you know, not like all the time or anything, but you know, I've yelled at someone, I've hit someone before. I haven't really been in fights. Like I can count on like one hand the times I've actually physically like been in an altercation with someone. I don't know. I think I'm just noticing in myself how I was really quick to be like, but I'm not violent, but like maybe there's some part of me that thinks that being violent or having a violent tendency is inherently bad. And I'm not sure that that's true, because I think that there are actually good reasons for violence. That's a extremely hot take. I'm not sure if I even agree with it. Yeah, no, I do think that if you're being hurt, that there are times where violence actually might make sense. Not in the times that I used it. So, no. I wasn't justified. I was not justified in the times that I slapped someone in the face. I can really only think of two times I ever did that. And I wasn't justified. I shouldn't have done it. Even though it was, you know, back and forth. It wasn't just me. But I do think that there are times when you're in a situation, it's not even that it's fueled by fear, but even if it is, if you're defending yourself or if you're trying to keep someone safe and there are no other options, it's like, I don't know, violence actually is an option sometimes. I'm not saying it's the best one or it's the one that I'm recommending. I'm just saying I understand it sometimes. You know, think about revolution. Do you think that that happens when we're all just sitting peacefully and we're trying to talk things out? It's like you can't talk oppressive forces out of, you know, their power. They're not going to give that up. It has to be taken violently. Yeah. Whew. Well, I'm not even sure if I do believe that, but I also, it's like, do I want to share that? Do I want people to know that I think that violence sometimes is understandable? Is that really a message I want to send out to everyone who listens to me? This probably won't go anywhere. Bye.
And as you heard, yes, it is a message I want to go out to everyone. I think the reason I was stumbling all over myself when I was talking about this is because I think what I wanted to say here is I am not justifying interpersonal, just like violence as far as like abuse, right? You don't just use violence because it's a means, like a way to get your needs met, you know? But when it comes to forces and systems, then that is when I'm like, yeah, that has historically only really worked when people fight back. And I think we kind of, maybe not, I don't want to assume that you feel, you know, do this, but I think we can collectively sort of, unless it's us experiencing it, but even if we are, we kind of can forget that poverty is violence for those impoverished. It is a byproduct of capitalism, but it also is like part of the design. It's not a system being broken. It's there have to be poor people for other people to be rich in this system. And that is why I'm anti-capitalist. And I don't really care who judges me for that anymore, because I've seen what this system does to people and how it just has seeped into everything. And I think that we also have, at least I did before I started waking up, you could say, I felt like, well, this is just a necessary evil. There's no other way. And to me, it's like, what a lack of imagination. We really can't think of any other way for things to go. Like, we think everything else is anarchy, or everything else is, excuse me, chaos. We think everything else is chaos other than this system that we watch kill people we love every day, actually. Like, every day we see evidence of how this shit sucks. And even for rich people, and this is kind of what I was going off on Instagram last night, because Instagram is actually my diary again. We'll see how long that lasts, but for now, my handle on there is Sleepy House Healing, where I do a lot of bitching, but I don't really care anymore. It's fine. Weirdly, last night I was like, I'm just gonna do this journal entry of a post, and then a lot of people liked it, surprisingly. So I'll keep doing that. Okay, that's it for real now. I hope you have a wonderful full moon time. Be kind to yourself. And that's it. That's really it now. Okay, I've said hi and bye so many times. Bye-bye.